Welcome to Truth is Stranger Than Fiction. Here's the guy who asks all the right questions. Your host, Ralph DeLugas.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to a special live episode of Truth is Stranger Than Fiction. We are coming to you live from the great Sanhedrin Valley in what was formerly the Everlasting Hills. I think now we can call it the Ever-Quaking Hills. I want to talk a little bit about the earthquake we have and some pretty amazing events that I would call signs that have come from my little great Sanhedrin Valley. And I want to talk about some other current events, and I want to talk about days, the days of the Gentiles, the days of the Jews, the days of tribulation, and the day of the Lord. To me, these are interesting, very interesting things throughout all the religions of our world, and all have truth in them. And I'm wondering what you guys think as far as what days we're in. I'll tell you what I think and why. But first, I want to talk about a couple current events, news that are science related that you won't get anywhere else. A good friend of mine operates a little community called the Suspicious Observers, Ben Davidson, and I kind of watch what he does. He has an earthquake prediction app, a disaster app, and it watches the sun. I think it's very important to watch the sun always, S-U-N, capital S-O-N. But he goes off of the short version. He goes off of outgoing long wave radiation in the earth, energy going down when there's a low cell and a high cell. A high cell is electricity, massive currents going up. A low is the currents coming down. And in that area in between is where we almost always have big earthquakes. And his prediction apps are like 90%+, even better, I believe, than Dutch Sense, those of you familiar with him. And I've watched a couple days here over the past few days, the alert go finally leaving Salt Lake area and going right over the Madrid. That's one of the things we're going to talk about, the days of tribulations and some of the signs to look for. Seismic activity in the area of the Madrid. I don't want to scare anybody, but in my opinion, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And one of my heroes, President Benson, Ezra Taft, said that silence in the face of calamity is sin. And I don't want to be a sinner by his estimations. And I think it's important to talk about these things. There is, I can promise all of you guys, if you're listening today, you're probably more awake than most, and you know that the days ahead are going to be the most joy-filled and exciting of not just our lives, but I think of all the lives that have been on earth in this eternal round. So there is nothing to be, do not be afraid. That's what they want. We're going to talk a little bit about those guys too. By those guys, I mean the guys in the dark tower of Molech over there in Switzerland that are behind all of this, the world bankers and their boss, Cain. I think it's important to give a hat tip to them and point out what they're doing and why as well. But so Madrid is on alert. That's something to definitely be aware of. Dark matter, I don't want to talk about right now. It's kind of funny. They're still putting out all these papers on dark matter and such dribble. Those of you that – I won't even talk about that. We got too many important things to talk about. It's kind of interesting to me. Probably many of you have heard that the Italian Health Organization put out an article, and this is right from their website. 99% of those who died from coronavirus had other illnesses, and nobody, from my understanding, I have some doctor friends, one of whom is a, it's a long name, the study of viruses and pathogens, whatever that is, that big long word that I can't think of right now. He's one of those, and he tells me that nobody that ever dies from flu or dies from this coronavirus actually dies from that virus. It's not fatal. What's fatal is the infections that can follow if you have a weakened immune system. And which kind of brings me up to another article that I saw from that great edifice of propaganda, the USA Today. Here is why 5G and coronavirus are definitely not connected. What I can tell you for a fact, I can't say for sure that coronavirus is connected to 5G, but I can tell you, I guess I have to throw this in my opinion, but to me this is a fact, that 5G weakens your immune system. Additionally, it is absolutely possible to broadcast fear, despair, and all sorts of emotions, and that's from the CIA's website. They were in DARPA. They've been experimenting in broadcasting emotions, energetic interference with the human psyche since the 60s, and they admit that. And these same high-energy millimeter waves, which are now propagating everywhere, especially in big cities, by the way, especially the 5G capital of America is New York. Interesting, that's where they have the most cases. Is that related? Can't say for sure. But 5G bad. I don't think we can ever say that enough. And I think something else that we can say for sure, what was this last article? Oh, asteroids. I think one thing we can say for sure is that things will never be the same from here. Kind of like after 9/11. Things were never the same after 9/11, but in my opinion, I'm afraid this is going to be 10 times worse as far as our liberty and our well-being, at least over the short term. My guess would be about 7 years or so, but the good news is there's a happy ending. There is an interesting article that NASA put out, and then this one that's still up, two asteroids most likely won't cause very many atmospheric explosions over Earth. Thankfully, we shouldn't expect a deep impact scenario anytime soon. And this article talks about two fairly small asteroids that will be passing by us, 80 meters. There was another article which has been scrubbed from their website, and I can't find it anywhere. No, usually so many places repropagate NASA's, especially when it comes to asteroids hitting the Earth, right, or asteroids coming close. That's always big news. Everybody likes reporting on that. I can't find this sucker anywhere. And this was a big asteroid approaching us April 29th. I remember that. I can't look at it because the article's gone. But this was several kilometers, I believe, in size, which is a several kilometer wide asteroid hitting us at full steam dead on would be at least a state killer, if not maybe a continent killer. Fear not. I don't expect that to hit the Earth. But it's interesting that they scrubbed that. I can't say why. I can only report that it was there. Now it's gone. I want to talk briefly, if I may, about the earthquake we had. You know, before I get on that, I want to remind our listeners of a couple important things I think that are important to remember, especially at this time when fear is everywhere. We have an ark that sits under the ground in Golgotha, and in that ark, known to all by the name Ark of the Covenant, there is a law. That law is the law of Moses. And there's a lot of those that, you know, I would assume everybody listening is pretty good at not killing people. I would assume most of you don't steal, you know, much. But there are some other laws in there that I think that we don't talk about enough, like having any God before our God, and keeping the Sabbath day holy and things like that. I think this is a great time. Rather than buy some more hand sanitizer and slathering that all over your body, maybe review the Ten Commandments and take a little self-evaluation and see how are you doing with those. Because as our founding fathers knew very well, when we are his people, he will fight for us. And frankly, we've got a lot against us these days. So it's going to become more important than ever that we recognize or at least make ourselves his people. That's my opinion. I want to talk really briefly about the sun, because I think it's so, to me, this is like one of the most amazing metaphors, that our sun and its solar wind is the source of all water on Earth. That this solar wind, when it hits our atmosphere, which is oxygen, and by the way, now NASA finally admits this, even though it's not taught to our children, and we'll get into why this all goes back to those wonderful guys in the Dark Tower in Switzerland. But why this isn't taught in our schools, that the sun, that its wind, solar wind hitting our atmosphere creates water, which falls upon us and gives us life. The sun is the source of all life. Of course, that's not taught in schools or universities or anywhere else, right? We're going to run up against the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Trump of Great Moroni hitting the ground, what it could mean, and we will do that after the break. Welcome back, everybody. I want to talk about the earthquake we had here in the Salt Lake Valley, and more specifically what it means, especially in regard to, I've heard a lot of people making jokes. I know I don't want to call him out, but I have a good friend that's a doctor and chiropractor, and I think he's kind of an atheist sort, or at least not a super religious sort, but he gave me a pretty hard time that now that second coming thing can't happen now because the trumpet that many in my church thought was going to be blown is on the ground now. And he just thought that was terribly funny. And I just shook my head and thought, oh, don't worry. He can still come back. No problem. Very interesting. I want to quote from a guy who I very much respect. I would call him a scientist. He's a archaeologist. He's part of the universal model. Those familiar with that, Rod Meldrum. He also has a site called Book of Mormon Evidence, .org. He does a lot of archaeology, a lot of history, and he has an article out that is entitled, "There are symbolic events going on all around us, the Salt Lake Temple, Moroni's trumpet." To me, this isn't a Mormon thing, a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints thing. This is a symbol to the world. And I want to talk about just briefly, well, let me read you the opening paragraph of his article. Salt Lake Temple's Moroni statue damage from yesterday's earthquake is most ominous. Moroni with his trumpet was seen in vision Joseph Smith had in designing the first temple constructed in this dispensation, the Kirkland Temple. Atop the temple spire was a horizontal Moroni holding outstretched his trumpet, heralding the going forth of the restored gospel to the nations of the earth, the final gathering to the house of Israel of people from every nation and kindred. The Salt Lake Temple at the site of church headquarters is the iconic structure representing the church itself symbolically. And of course, this is his opinion, but I would share that opinion. The trumpet once held by gold leaf Moroni was removed from his lips by an act of God in yesterday's earthquake. The possible symbolism of such an event is truly ominous. Was this a sign that God's directive to preach the gospel to all the earth is coming to a close? Have we crossed a threshold, a point in which the missionary efforts of the church are about to be withdrawn? And this article came out before all the announcements. And as we all know, members of my church anyway, the LDS church know, the missionaries have all come home or are on their way home. I'm really good friends with some pastors and some other people. And they, of course, to me, the Day of the Gentiles is more than just any one religion's preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it's the great Christian nation, America, which is the great Gentile nation by Isaiah's terms. It is the great last days Gentile nation. America, I think you could probably include Canada in that mix. They are the great Gentile nation. We were set up as a symbol of liberty, right? Everybody knows the story, I would assume, of our founding fathers and how we became a nation. And they relied heavily on the Abrahamic covenant. We are his covenant Gentiles that we're supposed to carry it to the world. I think this is a good place to, I think this is in here. I want to talk about what that what his trumpet represents. You know, I don't want to read too many scriptures because I think people's eyes tend to glass over when I read scriptures. You know, I'm just going to read there was one quote here by Brigham Young. I have it one other place. Brigham Young, for those of you who don't know he's a great religious leader, 1800s, 1850s to 1890s. He was the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He was also a great colonizer, and this is what he had to say about the going forth of the gospel and the day when that stops. Quote, "All we have had heard, all we have yet heard, and all we have experienced is scarcely a preface to the sermon that is going to be preached. When the testimony of the elder ceases to be given, and the Lord says to them, 'Come home, I will now preach my own sermons to the nations of the earth,' all you now know can scarcely be called a preface to the sermon that will be preached with fires, sword, tempest, earthquakes, hail, rain, thunderings, and lightnings, and fearful destruction." You know, I look at that list, and I can't see anything there. Even if I was a total atheist and had no belief in any religious anything, I can see that all these are coming in our same in the scriptures. In Isaiah, we read that the signs will be under our feet, above our head. Those signs are there, folks. So don't be scared. This is exciting, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. A little bit more on this. I don't want to talk too much about this because this is kind of a local thing, but I think it has implications to the world. Some of you might be familiar with an olive tree and it's being pruned and branches cut out and grafted in. And this is an allegory called the allegory of the olive tree. And it refers to a day of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles have brought forth lots and lots of fruit, but none of it any good, at least most of it not any good, according to the olive allegory. Well, what is the fruit? The fruit is and has to be the followers of Christ, the Christians, especially those from where the gospel was meant to be sent, America. We are the modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. There is no question about that, at least in my mind. A careful study of the scriptures makes that very, very clear. And to me, that good old Bible is it's a standard. It is the greatest history book we have and a great warning to us. But the great news is that we are not condemned to suffer the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah, because unlike Sodom and Gomorrah, there can be 100 righteous found in us and far more than that. It is up to each person to choose for themselves. So how do we choose for ourselves? That's pretty simple. Those rules that Moses brought forth, the law of Moses that's in the ark that I believe we will see come forth. I know that the Israeli government knows exactly where it is. They haven't been able to get permission to get to it. It was discovered by Ron Wyatt, some 40 years ago now. But I think we're going to see the days when that thing is again sitting in a temple of God. And I think that is going to be just that is going to be really cool. I will start this just a little bit. I want to talk about the source of all this, and I want to talk about the timeline, at least as we can best estimate it, according to guys like Isaiah. And, there's kind of an idiom, I would call it an idiom, I guess, or some people might call it a philosophy of man or a tradition in my church. And I've noticed similar things in other churches. And it's kind of simply this: if it's not said by the prophet or the president of our church, then many in my faith will discount it. But it's interesting to me that the leader of my church and throughout scriptures, we're told to study the scriptures, seek revelation for ourselves. The prophet of my church says, study the scriptures, seek revelation. The Savior himself said, study the scriptures, study Isaiah. And then he commanded us to study Isaiah. So I think it's really, really important to look at things like the falling of this trumpet, the signs of our times, and not wait for someone else to discern them for us. We are commanded to discern them for ourselves. That's kind of the whole point of this, right? We're not here to just be spoon-fed stuff. We're here to discern and act, and everything hinges on that. In my opinion, the days of tribulations are underway, and that is no small thing to say. And I am excited, a little bit scared. I have to admit, I woke up this morning a little fearful, but it's good to. I get rid of that by going on my knees, and I was quickly better. But we're going to talk about the source of all this, the Dark Tower in Switzerland, after this break.
Trusted voices of truth and insight. This is the Loving Liberty Radio Network.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Much has been said about the coronavirus, and as any thinking person can see, the reaction is ridiculously disproportionate to the problem. Not that there's not a problem, but you just look at a couple things like the New York mayor's rantings about bodies are going to be stacked in the street because the morgues can't handle all these dead that are coming in when 13 people have died. I looked this up the other day. There's 160 people on average that die in New York every day, but these 13 new people are just all bodies. You know, what are you guys doing? Well, I think if you were to trace this back, and in fact, I believe I know this to be true. And I know this again because I can find it rooted. Not only does it pass my internal truth detector, but I can find it rooted in that, in the good book and other places, that this source, we're told in Holy Writ and through the word that Lucifer is going to reign with blood and horror on this earth. And how's he going to do it? He's going to do it by accumulating gold and silver. And later, I think I've heard him say somewhere that you can buy anything in this world for money. Cain, as we know, was recruited by the Dark Lord and became ever after kind of the Master Mayhem, I guess you want to call him, of the earth. And he rules over this council. Those that listen to Gaia know this council as the Majestic 12. The 12, or I've heard 13, I'm not 100% sure. 12 would make more sense to me. Ruling families that have ruled over the earth for thousands of years. And they've done it through money. Cain began immediately minting coin, and he was the first banker of the world. And from Cain to this day, we have this great entity that seems to rule over the world, and it is based clearly in Switzerland. It doesn't take a too diligent of a researcher to see that. So, I mean, a lot of people will say, oh, why would the government, you know, over-exaggerate this? They're just trying to keep us safe. They wouldn't deliberately tank the economy. You know, they don't want to lose trillions of dollars. These folks, guys, they don't care about any of that. You think Cain cares about the economy or the people who sit in that council with him that have a net worth of probably quadrillions of dollars? They don't care about any of that. Cain only has and his boss, Lucifer, he wants you and me miserable. That is their goal. So, you know, I think it's important to think about those things, and some people might think I'm crazy. Oh, you're calling the world bankers, you know, Satan's helpers. Well, you can develop your own opinion. I'd look into it if you feel so inclined. I don't like to study this stuff honestly too much. I think it's important to know what's going on. And just think about this: the poor that are saddled with massive debts and taxation. I would count myself in that group, and I would imagine everybody listening today, saddled with massive debts and taxation. We toil endlessly while a few elites glut themselves beyond relief. When you go out and get a home loan, many are refinancing their house.
what do you get? You put together all this paperwork, and eventually you'll get this check, right? Or anymore, you don't even get a check. You just get an electronic transfer. They put some number with a bunch of zeros after it into your bank account or in the person's bank account that's selling you a home. And because that person is in on it and is willing to call that money, and because the banks are willing to call that money, the rouge goes on. But they didn't give you anything. There's no assets behind that. Those dollars don't represent any assets. Everybody knows that. So when Congress throws out $2 trillion, that's a joke. That check they send out isn't worth any more than – it's actually probably worth less than a piece of toilet paper nowadays, right? Well, I call this the Babylonian money scheme, and it has been going on for a very, very long time. And I try not to be pleased knowing. See, I'm a believer. At the core of my optimism is a firm faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can't recommend that enough to anyone because we're going to need that. These things aren't going to – just a casual glance at this, you can see that these things aren't going to just go away in a couple of weeks. You know, the governments, they pushed off tax day, for heaven's sakes. Has that ever happened before, Brian? I can't think of a time where that has ever happened before. They're pushing off tax day, which is kind of nice for business owners. I'm pretty excited about that. But this is a very big deal. And, you know, these guys that are in charge of central banking, they have a dark agenda, but and I have to believe that they think that they can win this thing. And otherwise they wouldn't do it, right? But you and I know that there is a far greater power than Cain, who has, you know, let's face it, this is their world. They control all the money, all of the currencies of the world, all of the militaries. You might argue that the Chinese and the Russians are under a different leader. I would argue the same leader, just a different division. The generals might not recognize that the big boss is over both, but I mean, that's just a fact to me. So I got to be honest. Sometimes, you know, we're told to love your enemies and pray for those that despitefully use you. And I don't know anybody that despitefully uses more people than these guys, right? So I have to admit that it pleases me a little bit to know these guys will be wailing in darkness for many eternal rounds to come. I need to work on that. I need to work on loving these guys, loving even those who work for them, you know, the Soroses and the Clintons and the Bidens of the world. And honestly, in my humble opinion, I would put Trump in that group. I don't know. I guess the jury's still out on Donald Trump. Is he going to come in on the light side or the dark side? I believe him to probably be a dark. Although some of the things he's done might have bought us some time, which is a great thing. But anyway, that's enough about the guys in the dark tower in Geneva. Lost my place now. What I was talking about. But anyway, so what do we do going forward? I think the single most important thing we do is don't fear. That is going to be an ongoing battle for I'm sure all of us. I know I suffer from it. Brian and I were talking over the break. He was telling me that he's struggling with it. I think we all are. You know, I'm afraid for my kids. I'm afraid for my friends, the elderly in my family. But we can have faith, right? We have great power. You are not sons and daughters of slime, rats and monkeys. You are sons and daughters of the God and Mother of Heaven. And as such, you have far greater power than you realize and that we realize. And I think the great days where this is going to be tested lie before us and are this very day. I mean, so many states where they're implementing these stay-at-home orders, and man, how disgusting is this, right? When I know there was a big announcement in my state today. There's been grumblings about they're going to mandate only look at California, though. You have to be labeled by the government as essential, or they're going to shut off your power and your water. Are you kidding me? What are you going to have papers to be out on the road? Where do they get this authority? I don't know. Maybe Brian can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe they have. I don't care if this was a real pandemic
and I don't believe this is for a second, but even if this was a real pandemic, they don't have the constitutional authority to just brush the Constitution aside and implement these draconian changes. They just don't have them. None of these powers, these War Act powers and all these special powers, they have come from votes in the legislative branch. They can't change the Constitution, unless I'm mistaken. Isn't that correct to say that, Brian? I think I'm correct to say that. So I don't know about you, but I guess I'm kind of lucky that way. At my work, we make parts for the military, Black Hawk parts and other parts. I'm probably not supposed to talk about that, but we do military contracting along with some of the other machine manufacturing that we do. So I would imagine the kingdom will call that essential, even though I wouldn't say that's essential. I'd like to stop doing it. I wish I didn't do it, to be real honest, but we got to do what we got to do, right? But for them to just, what are they going to do, set up roadblocks? I've heard talks on Suspect Sky, their weekly podcast about these trainloads of tanks going various places, National Guard presence increasing throughout California and New York. Pretty crazy times. The most important thing we can do is to not fear. So anyway, I'm gonna get over that. And how much time we got left, Brian, before the break? Oh, we will cover the rest of this after the break then. We'll talk to you then. Everybody, welcome back to our special live episode of Truth is Stranger Than Fiction. I want to wrap up this final segment and talk a little bit about the timeline. And I'm calling this the beginning of the days of the tribulation. Some of you might know what that means. The days long foretold in Scripture that precede the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. So that's a pretty great thing. And this is, of course, my opinion. Some might wonder, I know I've heard many people say, why would God let this happen or that happen? What are the tribulations for? Again, I have to revert back to my pal Isaiah. And if you want to know more about Isaiah, just a little shameless plug. There's a lot of good places out there. There's a man called Avraham Gileadi, Dr. Avraham Gileadi. He has a website, Isaiah. If you just put in Gileadi, it's spelled like it sounds. Pretty much everything I've learned, I didn't learn anything about Isaiah. I knew I was commanded to read it, and so I read through it, and it was kind of like hiking uphill in the mud. You just did it because you knew you had to, and you got to the top, but you didn't get anything out of it, right? That's how I always was with Isaiah. But it wasn't until this guy who was he's converted to Christianity. He was a Jewish rabbi. And a PhD holding historian even before he converted to Christianity in ancient Hebrew, and basically what I would call the ways of the Jews. And once learning who the left hand of the Lord, the Assyrian king, is, and what the many waters represent that overflow the promised land, etc., you start to, and I think I might know maybe 0.001%, but there is a common thing that happens in Isaiah, and I would call it like the descent phase. I believe that's what Abraham calls it. There's a descent phase that we must go through in order to ascend before our ascent phase. The Savior went through this. I think the whole earth and this whole plan is this. We came an awfully long ways here to this earth to go through a school, and this is part of our descent phase. The tribulations are going to be a descent phase, but if we endure them, and we endure them well, we are promised that God will lift us. And, to me, this is no different than I would call our founding fathers. I mean, look at the heck they went through. Every one of the 52 signers, I hope I got that number right. Hope that wasn't an Obama moment. I believe it was 52 signers. Is that right, Brian? Is there 52? 54? I was going to say 54. 54 or 52.
I'm embarrassed now. 50-something signers. It didn't end well for pretty much any of them, right? Some were killed, had their fortunes stolen, family members killed. It was a massive descent phase, but they did it and they paid that price, and they paid it with confidence. How could they do that? How could these couple plantation owners in this new world stand up to the an unbeatable foe? Kind of like the Tower of Babel there. They seem quite unbeatable to, by all worldly estimations, right? They have all the militaries, all the money. Our founding fathers knew something that the Council of Majestic 12 in the Tower of Babel, something that they don't know, that God wins. And that if you keep the right jersey on, that you can't fail. So to me, it's no different than that. But what is the tribulations for? Well, it will force everybody to choose a side. Hundreds of millions of people will be motivated to come to the light side, and that's all good. It's all good. As long as we endure well, the descent phase ends well. So I want to talk just briefly about the timeline. For some reason, I don't know. I just think it was maybe part of my – I think we all kind of saw what we would do here. I believe that we all saw, you know, in at least some way our lives. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to have this dream, and it's only started coming back to me maybe about – a year or so ago, and I had this dream over and over and over again. I didn't want to take baths because I saw this massive tidal wave come over. I didn't even know what America was, honestly. I started having this dream when I was like three, but I was horrified of what I now know is a tsunami. Back then, I didn't even know what it was. I was just afraid the ocean was going to come in a big wave, and I could still see it in my mind. It came up against the mountains, and it kind of sloshed around like in a bathtub and went back. And I saw this over and over and over again when I was a kid. Like when we went to Disneyland and my parents took me to a beach for the first time, I was horrified. I was like, that's the water I saw. But I think we see these things. And I think when we have these little deja vu moments, I think those are mile markers and signs that we're on the right path. So for some reason, all my life I have been, especially in the last 10 years, been like had this almost an insatiable obsession of studying last days timelines. And so I just want to go briefly over the timelines just by Isaiah standards and by I choose to believe a lot of these people that have had near-death experiences and so forth. We're told in Joel 2 in the last days people will dream dreams and have visions and etc. When they jive with scripture and when they feel right to my in my heart, I put them down in the believe category. And when you put enough of these together, I think you can start putting a pattern together. So the first thing we can expect, some of you probably are not going to be shocked to hear, is a financial collapse. And, you know, I mean, that's not a shock. We've been printing money forever. I heard a number the other day which blew me away. The derivatives, I believe, were up to 1 quadrillion. Like you only hear that number in space, right? Like what even is a quadrillion? Actually, it was 1.5 quadrillion. That's basically the bad debt held by the world bankers. That's money that they've borrowed out probably in a great deal to themselves and their corrupt friends, building secret space programs and underground cities and who knows what. But 1.5 quadrillion, that's $1,500 trillion. That's the derivatives market. Which is like 5 times higher than it was in 08. So a financial collapse, probably not too hard to see coming. I think we're probably on the cusp of that, in my humble opinion. I'm no financial expert. But after this financial collapse and throughout kind of this process, we'll see increasing catastrophes. All the things that Brigham Young mentioned, there are the lightnings, the tempests, the shaking of the earth. These things are slowly underway. The hail, hail nucleation is going to be a product of the coming crustal shifts, the poles reversing, and our magnetosphere is getting weaker. We are in what's called cosmic ray maximum, and one absolute positive result of that will be greatly increased hail nucleation. You can see it from a scientific standpoint. And my most reliable source to me is scriptures, but I like going to science and improving it that way too. It's very interesting to me. But so we're going to have that increasing throughout. There will be plagues. This is not one of them. We talked about on another show what those plagues will be. There will be three major ones, each one worse than the prior. I think the three together making what is it Daniel said, Ryan? The desolation. Thank you. The abomination of desolation spoken Daniel. Daniel is another one that definitely saw our day. He's my number two favorite one to read. Joel and Ezekiel after that. So we got plagues. Then we'll have the left hand of the Lord, and this will be the last thing I want to talk about on the dark side. There'll be an invasion in America. President Washington saw it in his dream, his vision, his angelic visitation, actually. Many have seen this, including Isaiah, and he writes about it incessantly. The left hand of the Lord cleansing America, but it ends well. The left hand of the Lord will be defeated by the right hand of the Lord, the Davidic servant and company, and angels of heaven and so forth. So it ends, the net result will be very, very good. What does this all mean to us? I'm going to run out of time here, so I'm going to have to kind of skip to the end of my little sermon. Like I said, I'm a believer. So you know what? These are going to be some hard times, and I wish I could tell you that there was anything that I see anywhere that makes me think this is just going to go away and be all better tomorrow. But that would be a lie. I can see clouds coming along with many of you, and I can see that we're going to need all of the spiritual horsepower that we can muster. That's done in some pretty simple ways. The two great laws of God, I think Joe, a former Loving Liberty host, said it best and shortest, that get right with God and be kind to your neighbor, right? Those are the two great laws in summary. Love God. If you love God, you'll keep his commandments the best you can. None of us are perfect at that, but we do the best we can. And we be kind to our neighbor. You know what? Check on the old people in your neighborhood, some of the elderly. Make sure they got enough toilet paper. Make sure they got enough bottled water. Maybe just stop by, and you know, you probably shouldn't go running in their door, but you know, sing them a song or something. Send them a text. Be good to those around you, and it will be well with us all. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.